This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Donor-advised funds from DAF Giving 360. Your clients can donate cash, publicly traded securities, or appreciated assets like real estate. It's a simple, tax-smart way to give. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org/advisors.
Welcome in. This is the latest edition of the Character Concerns podcast. My name is Chris Sinocero, joined as always by my guy, Jay Binkley. We just finished up preseason game number one for the Chiefs, and we are now, what is it, a week and a half away from the start of the college football season. Week zero, I think, is what, the 23rd?
Yeah, it's the last free weekend. Then it's game on, 23rd. And then we've got college football the 30th, which is going to be a great week. I love that week right before the NFL starts. They always put prime games on. We got Texas, Ohio State going at it. Prospects galore. See Arch Manning going to Columbus. Oh, man. And then we get the NFL, the Chiefs in Brazil, Friday night, the 5th, man. I mean, it's doesn't get any better than that.
And for those of you that don't have anything to do on Labor Day, September 1st, you can listen to us. We will be on filling in for the drive from 2 to 6 over on 96.5 The Fan. So we'd appreciate it if you listen to us. We'll get your preview for the Chiefs for that week. And we'll also give you our reactions to the first couple weeks of college football as well. So we'd appreciate it if you were to check us out.
Some good matchups that week, Chris.
Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of good matchups that week. We're obviously going to talk about that, those matchups as we get closer to the weeks that those games will be going on. But we did have some Chiefs action this past Saturday night. Chiefs went down to Phoenix, Arizona, to Glendale, Arizona, and they took on the Arizona Cardinals. And a lot of very interesting takes, I think, that we'll have about the players that we saw in the game. Chiefs lost 20-17. Not like that matters. I don't think anyone really, unless you're like, you know, real crazy diehard, you don't care about the preseason game results. More than anything, you just want to see the players and how they perform.
Well, you and I like football about as well as anybody. Can you tell me what the Chiefs did last year in preseason?
I have no idea.
Exactly.
To be honest, I have no idea what they do any year. I forget.
Me either.
That's what I'm saying. What they do.
The one thing I could tell you is like between 16 and like 2022, the Ravens didn't lose a damn game. So it'd be undefeated. Yeah. I mean, because they took it seriously. It's something that they liked. It was weird because like the Ravens were the team to bet on preseason. I know betting on preseason is stupid.
But yeah, the Ravens on preseason, you need to call the hotline.
Well, but except for the Ravens, they had like a 20-game winning streak in the preseason. Harbaugh took it seriously. It's like, if you're ever going to bet on preseason, I told Gold too, it was like 2 or 3 years into it. I was like, dude, the Ravens like 18 our last game.
Yeah. Call the hotline. Given. Call the hotline if you're betting on preseason.
I'll call 1-800-BETS-OFF.
Yeah, call whatever hotline your state has and talk to them if you're betting on preseason.
I got a football problem.
So want to start off with our thoughts on the various draft picks and younger players that they have on their roster. And obviously, like, the big guy that everyone was looking out for was Josh Simmons, left tackle, first round pick, pick 32 for the Chiefs. And at least from my point of view, he looked like a starting left tackle. Now, I'll say this. Is finding your starting left tackle exciting to me? Is it sexy? No. But, like, I kind of think about it this way. Not having a left tackle is like having a really, really bad headache. And then drafting Josh Simmons is like taking some Advil, and then you hope that eventually it starts to subside. Well, right now, after what we saw in Arizona, the symptoms starting to go down a little bit. That pain, that headache starting to go down a little bit. And I'm starting to feel a little bit better about what the Chiefs did back in April. Even though it wasn't the sexiest pick, I'm starting to feel a lot better about that pick right now.
Well, I wasn't thrilled about it. I mean, you know my feelings about when it was.
Your face when that pick came across.
I was just shocked more than anything. Now, listen, if there was a track record of taking Ohio State players and you hear, you know, the Dane Brugler's of the world talking about Josh Simmons ready to go, these teams are making a mistake. The thing is, all these guys and the experts, they slept on Josh Simmons because they were talking about the medicals. All the teams were. I mean, all the teams passed him for a reason, right? Josh Simmons had to prove something. And
for a good reason. Like, no, let's not act like all these teams were just like way wrong.
No, they're right.
Was legitimate concern because patellar tendon rare tears injury. Are very rare. We just saw it with Rashawn Slater, the left tackle for the Chargers. He just had that injury last week, and so he's going to be dealing with a similar process that what Josh Simmons just went through.
Well, that's what I was going to say. Rashawn Slater just got it, and you know what the number one thing they're saying is? Well, it's going to take a long time because he's a big guy, and patellar knee injuries take a long time with big guys. Well, Josh Simmons hadn't played since October. That's a long time ago, man. Yes, I know he came from Ohio State, the Ohio State University. Yes, I know they rolled through the college football playoffs and they won a national title. But I also know Josh Simmons was not part of that. So it didn't affect Ohio State that much, did it? Losing their left tackle. And they went on. They crushed everybody in the playoffs and they won a national title without Josh Simmons. Josh Simmons right now has as much NFL experience as you and I do, which is none. Yes, he's played a preseason game with 11 snaps, but he hasn't played a regular season game, so we have to see what he does in the game. I'll say this, though. As I've told you before, I think we're talking about Brett Veach and the great moves he's made. Obviously, Parker Anger for Sharius Ward was a great trade that he made, grabbing Harrison Butker off the practice squad of the Panthers when he first took over. All these little bringing in Tyrann Mathieu to change the culture of the defense. All these moves are great. I mean, I would rank them, you know, 1 through 5, trading for Orlando Brown, who he didn't have a left tackle because the draft was so bad that year with the Cosmes and Eichenberg, Alex Leatherwood's the world. And the Chiefs said,
Tevin Jenkins.
The Chiefs said, The Chiefs said, no, thank you. These guys can't play left tackle. They're going to be a right tackle or a guard, or they're going to be out of the league. Is what they thought. They did the right thing. So you know what they do? They call their rival. I thought it was no chance. I remember doing a night show, and it was like, people were like, hey, what about Orlando Brown? And I was like, man, there's no way in hell they're going to get him. And I brought the Baltimore beat writer on. He said, no, this is not going to happen. Then later that night, it happened. So I texted him back and said, hey, you want to come back on, and we'll talk about this because I can't believe it's happening. And then Nick Bolton, well, pick 58 comes over, which turned into Nick Bolton. But all these moves are great. But if Justin Simmons works out, it's the best. I mean, by
Josh
far.
Simmons.
Or Josh Simmons. What did I say? Justin Simmons. No, I was thinking of
wrong
the
guy.
Oh, Lathan North.
Yeah.
But you know what I'm talking about. Josh Simmons, if it works, of course I know what it is because all I've been talking about on the radio is Josh Simmons. But if he works out, it's by far the best because it's so important. I consider left tackle right behind quarterback. I mean, it makes the whole Chiefs offense. It makes Mahomes be Mahomes. It makes your Hall of Fame quarterback be your Hall of Fame quarterback if he works out. And seeing him in the first preseason game, talked about it a little bit last week, but we know there's one thing we can't prove. We haven't seen an NFL game yet, but his attitude's right. And what I mean by that is he hasn't missed practice. I mean, there's a laundry list of dudes in St. Joe that missed practice. He ain't one of them.
He rehabbed all throughout the summer. Yeah, didn't
he
go
ain't
anywhere.
One of them.
He was every day rehab, sometimes
right
twice
here in
a
Kansas
day.
City. He didn't
rehab.
Fly out to San Diego. He did it here. So what I'm saying is his attitude is spot on.
Yeah.
Like, and he's picking the brain of the Mitch Schwartzes of the world that they brought in to train him. He's talking to Creed and Trey Smith and trying to gain knowledge. So all that's great. He looked good in game one. I think Pro Football Focused a little hard on him with the 65.7 grade.
I don't care. The football,
and
the
I don't care about
stop,
that either.
Don't worry. I don't care about PFF grades. They don't mean anything.
Oh, they loved him in college, though.
Yeah, of course. Like, they don't mean
they
anything.
They don't mean a damn thing. I'm with you. I'm just saying that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, so like, I don't care about
it. It doesn't mean anything is what I'm saying. But watching him on film, and I think Jeff Schwartz had one of the better breakdowns of Simmons-Kingsley dynamic, because the big question was going to be him next to Kingsley. And Kingsley's a reminder of sometimes draft picks, man, they don't work out in that position you drafted them for. Can they work out the next position? So to see Simmons next to Kingsley, who it was Joe Tooney, let's face it.
Simmons does not look like the rookie compared to Sewell Mata'ia.
I think Simmons is ahead of Kingsley.
He looks like the second-year player, and Sewell Mata'ia looks like 100%. The rookie trying to learn how to play
like,
linebacker.
Like the footwork is so much better for Simmons than Kingsley.
Immediately, like his pass sets, immediately right where he needs to be.
The only thing that both of them need to work on, this includes Simmons, that punch. That's the one thing you want to see him
take. Most of those guys, that's like the biggest thing they need to work on is
Jeff Schwartz made a great breakdown on Twitter. He's talking about, look at their punch. They need a punch.
Right.
Like Simmons is in the right place a lot of times.
Yeah, he just doesn't
punch.
His body's
so big.
He doesn't punch, though.
But he needs to insert that dominance.
And here's the thing. He'll learn how to do that when he starts facing more speed rush guys, because you have to know how to do that. If you don't have a good punch against speed guys, man, you better have some incredible mirroring, some incredible lateral quickness so that you can get in front of these guys. Because, man, yeah, that punch, that's going to be really important against the speed guy. So I am really interested to see how he develops there. And I'm very interested to see what his punch is going to look like when he does start facing some of those speed guys. Because that is going to be really important. Because if you can't perfect that, you're going to have a hard time when you start facing like the premier pass rushers, the Trey Hendricksons of the world and whatnot. Like guys like that who can use speed, who can go speed to power. That's going to be a problem for him. So you did bring up Kingsley Sewell-Mata'ia, man.
Well, he's so important because he's next to Simmons. Again, that's tough for the Chiefs.
It's not even just that, but like
you're losing a first-team All-Pro.
You're talking about a second-round pick, a guy that they thought was going to be their starting left tackle a year ago, didn't work out, and so you tried him. You're trying him out at left guard right now, and I mean, I thought he looked all right for the most part, but there was this one play. Gardner Minshew was quarterback, and they sent a delayed blitz up the B gap.
Simmons, yeah, it was Mac Wilson.
Yeah, he did not see it. Like Sewell Mata'ia didn't see it initially. He was paying attention to the defensive tackle. And then at the last second, he turns around, sees the blitzer, overcorrects, trying to get in front of him, and he stumbles, and the guy is able to go out there and force
incompletion. And let's face it, 40% of that play, it turns into a turnover from the quarterback because he doesn't see you, a la Anthony Richardson getting hyped from the blind side. Don't see it. Don't see it happening.
There's a lot of quarterbacks that would have been a strip sack.
It would have been. And there's a lot of about 40% of the times that could happen. I get it. It's one play. And people say, it's one play. Well, as Dick Vermeil used to say, football sometimes comes down to one or two plays. And it does.
Not only that,
you watched Chiefs games last year, those one-score games. A lot of those games came to one play.
And not only that, but like if you're a defensive coordinator and you see that on film, third down, you need to get a stop. You're going to dial up that kind of blitz because you saw it in the preseason. You saw how he reacted to it. All of a sudden now, you know you've got a play in your back pocket that could disrupt a key third down.
Yeah, you're
play.
Occupying Simmons, and you're coming straight at freaking Kingsley. And you're going to occupy Creed, and you're going to occupy one-on-one with Simmons, give him a one-on-one, and you're bringing that blitz towards Kingsley.
Because I'll be interested to see what they do as far as stunts towards Kingsley.
Oh, if Mac Wilson had that easy of a shot, I mean, going through.
Yeah.
It wasn't the worst in the world. We know how dominant he is. Physical guy. He's a very physical guy. He can get out. I think he's better in space than he is in the pocket, to be honest with you.
Me too. It's just like the problem is your job, especially being a guard now, your job is to be in the pocket. And if you're not good in the pocket, especially in an offense where you got a quarterback that likes to hold on to the football, it's going to be a problem.
And it's not like we're being too rough on him. I know it was just one preseason game.
I mean, it's just one. I'm not saying they needs to be benched.
No,
I'm just saying he needs
Jalen
more.
Moore's here, so if he's not in case of emergency, break glass is right behind him.
And that's my point here is
NFL guy.
If Jalen Moore is the better option at left guard, he needs to be playing left guard.
Yeah, this isn't the Cardinals. This isn't the Colts. It's the freaking Chiefs, man. They've been in three Super Bowls.
If Juwan Taylor is better at left guard and Jalen Moore is better at right tackle, then that should be your combo.
I think it was hard enough getting Jalen Juwan Taylor to start getting his footwork to come off his right foot. He thought he was going to left tackle. Remember at first they're like, no,
that was initially what that like. I remember we were.
He played right in Jacksonville. Yeah,
he was always at the right.
Ask him to go to left guard. You're back to that footwork thing again.
I mean, I think it'll be easier for him. I would prefer Jalen Moore do that, but if Jalen Moore's better at right tackle and Juwan Taylor's better at left guard, then I think you go with that.
Last thing Simmons needs is a left guard that's going to be lined up halfway
in
the pocket.
Well, he's not going to be lined up like that if he's playing
I hope
guard.
Not.
Yeah, you're not playing guard like that.
I would have Jalen Moore there, to be honest with you.
I would have it too.
He's been in the NFL. I know his limited experience in San Francisco. Yeah. He backed up Trent Williams. He has that Trent Williams knowledge imparted on him. And he's a versatile guy. We've talked about how versatile Jalen Moore is.
Like I said, I agree with you. I'm just saying, if the better option is Jalen Moore at right and Juwan Taylor at guard, I go with that. Whatever the best option is, I go with that. But I think at this point now, after that game, and they're already starting to work those guys in. They've worked in Caliendo more at that left guard spot. If Caliendo is a better option than Suamati, then so be it. But I would actually prefer Jalen Moore over Juwan Taylor over Caliendo.
I wish Kingsley would work out, and we'll see, because it was so important. I told you, man, when you throw pick 58 or whatever, Kingsley, second round pick, that's a high value pick where the Chiefs could have really probably used another wide receiver, because I think they should throw two darts. But you throw a dart at your left tackle to be the answer. And then he wasn't.
I'm fine with the pick, even if it doesn't work. I'm fine with you throwing the dart at tackle because you needed it.
Yeah, because they tried that, but what sucks is if it didn't work.
If it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
But if Simmons works out, that makes it better. But if Simmons didn't work out with Kingsley, you're like, oh crap, they throw two darts high.
Yeah, like I said, I'm not dwelling over if Suamatia doesn't work out, because that's the draft.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. Like, sometimes it's not going to work. It's going to happen. It's fine. Move on.
But it's imperative that left side of the line can be, because they don't need to be running to the right side every time.
Right, right, right. Jalen Royals, young wide receiver, one of the guys on the offensive side that's been getting a lot of hype at camp. Been running a lot of reps with the ones, a lot of times in place of Rashi Rice, who we're kind of waiting for a suspension to come down on. He, to me, looks further along than the wide receivers usually are in Andy's system, to where, like, from what I saw, I don't think he's going to immediately be like a big impact guy or anything, but I do think he does have some sort of impact early on in the season.
I mean, you see it, and it's not like a lot of confusion. It's like
he knows what to do.
He feels like he knows what he's doing.
Yeah. He looks like he knows what, and it's like, it reminds me of Rashi Rice a couple years ago, where when he came in, game one against the Lions, he looked like he knew where he needed to be at. And so it gives me a little bit. Like I said, I'm not prognosticating a big year from him or anything. I don't think he's going to have 900 receiving yards like Rashi did a couple years ago. But I feel a lot more comfortable with what he could be based on what he is right now.
You know that 823 yards led this team in receiving last year with Kelce. Think about this.
Yeah.
This team won 15 games and went to the Super Bowl, right? Your leading receiver was 823. Your leading rusher was Kareem Hunt with like 723. A dude that's on the catch led your team in rushing. That just shows you how much. And again, you're talking about older guy in Kelce and older guy in Hunt. You're talking, this is why they need an infusion of young talent to do things in the system. That's why I'm looking forward to Xavier Worthy, first round pick last year, and looking forward to seeing what Jalen Royals can do in its offenses.
And when Rashi comes back from suspension too,
Oh, Rashi's the deal, man. I mean, for whatever you want, a one wide receiver for Mahomes, I think it's Rashi Rice.
Yeah.
And I think he's a guy you give another contract to, because there's obviously connection and chemistry with Mahomes. And
him and Mahomes have it's getting close to like Kelce.
It's like
Mahomes
that Kelce-like thing. I mean, he needs a dude, chemistry. Man. He needs a dude.
And with Kelce,
this episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
When Kelce retires, which he probably will do because in the offseason, but because he almost did this year, but didn't, but I don't expect it to keep going. But Rasheed's his dude, man. It's very hard for me because I really want to say Rasheed leads this team in yardage. But if he gets popped for six games, I don't see it happening.
I think he does.
I think Worthy does. I don't know, man. If he misses six games, man. If he misses six games, I see Worthy leading the team.
I still think
he might. But I want to do it.
I still think he might lead the team even if he goes six. I think he's going to go four.
I think Worthy does.
But if he
gets
six, I still think 11 games. Yeah, I still think.
Well, here's the thing, though.
Because him and Mahomes have a kind of chemistry.
Well, they keep saying, can Worthy get 1,000 yards? I was like, you know what? 1,000 yards divided by 17? If the Chiefs actually care about the last game, that's only 58 yards a game. I mean, that's
I don't know if I see 1,000 for Worthy. I could see him like 800.
I see 850 for him. I think I put him for 850.
Yeah, I can see. I can see right up, around that.
Yeah,
I can see
he had 638 last year. I think 850.
I think that's a reasonable, like 800 plus to me.
Especially if Rice is gone for some games.
Yeah,
and he's got a step ahead of where he was last year because he's that rookie trying to learn things.
Right. And I think he's got a lot more support around him too. And I think Kelce's going to have a better year than he had last year because he's dropped some weight. He looks like he's in better shape than he was a year ago. Even though he's still in good shape, it's just like now he's more of big wide receiver body instead of tight end body.
Because last year I looked at Hollywood Brown being a one or two. I don't look at it this way. Even though if he comes back from an ankle, he's fine.
I look at him.
I think Worthy's ahead of him
with
now, man.
Rashi out there.
I think it's Rasheed and Xavier.
Three.
That's it.
I would
that's
put him in number. Two. I would put Hollywood in number three. So one guy I am concerned about is Omar Norman Lott.
Yeah.
He did not look like his college tape. And I think it's because he put on the weight.
Well, they gained weight on him and they're trying to put him at zero instead of three.
Yeah, so I'm saying he was 291 at the combine, and he is now 315. So 24 pounds he's gained since he's been drafted. And that, to me, is very concerning.
Training table's very good in the NFL, but it was good at Tennessee.
Because, man, he doesn't have the explosiveness off the line of scrimmage that he had.
Yeah, some guys handle the weight gain well.
Yeah, and look, it might be a situation where it takes him some time to develop with that new weight. It might be a situation where he's just not used to it. And so he's going to have to get acclimated, and he'll figure out how to play in that weight in a good way. And I hope that's what happens. But to me, right now, I was not impressed at all. I thought that even when he got one-on-one matchups, he looked slow.
I just think playing the very interior is just not his game.
No,
and I think
three
like
tech.
Remember Chris Jones, they put him on the outside in the beginning. It took like what, one or two games till he like completely figured it out and started dominating out
there.
Yeah,
he's great. He can go. He's like over 300 pounds and he can go speed on.
But
guys,
I think they're trying this too much with Norman Lott. He was. And listen, man, they took him in the second round because he knew his athletic ability and how good he can be. And he didn't have any starts at Tennessee. He was in that six-man rotation that they have at defensive line. But I think pigeonhole where he does best. I think that's what you need to. I know that that's what they do with quarterbacks, and you run the RPOs if that's what the quarterback does. But I think Omar Norman Lott's a guy that you don't want to put him somewhere where he's not more comfortable. I guess they thought he would be acclimated to it, but let him lose the weight and get back to where he was.
Yeah, get him to get
that's
him
where
back
he was
down
effective.
Under 300 and let him play the way that he was playing before.
Let him play three.
I don't understand why they decided to do that.
He's not a nose.
He is not a nose tackle. Like, not one bit is he a nose tackle. And when I watched him, like you know, like some guys you can kind of tell, like, their frame fits their weight. It didn't look like that. He looked like he was out of shape. And I know, like, he's probably worked hard to put on good weight and
but
all that.
But that was purposeful, yeah. I mean, it's
and,
purposeful.
And, like I said, I know that he's worked on, and he's probably put on good weight. I'm sure, like, most of that's muscle, but still, he doesn't look like he can play at that weight. Again, it might change. That might change, and he might get that explosiveness better as he gets used to playing at that weight. Because, you know, you add 24 pounds as an athlete, and you're used to playing at a certain weight, that's tough. Like, you know, go look at Kelvin Benjamin towards the end of his career when he had weight issues. Like, he wasn't the same guy.
Booger said he was a Popeye biscuit
away from a tight end. Yeah, like, that's kind of what it feels like for him. And it's like, look, Omar's not a nose tackle. He is a straight three tech. I view him the same way I view Chris Jones as far as him being a disruptive three tech pass rusher. He does not need to be a nose tackle.
Yeah.
That's why I was calling for them to draft two defensive tackles so that you could have one that is a true nose tackle, and then you could have one like in Omar Norman Lott that could be your pass rusher. So I'm not a fan of the move. I hope
his effectiveness is getting to the quarterback.
And yeah,
you need
it's
to figure
gone.
Out where it is. If it's three technique, losing weight, his ideal fit is a dude that comes in there in the rotation and gets after the quarterback.
Right.
With run stuffing ability, too. I know they wanted to be a pure
and I think I actually think he looked pretty good against the run.
Yeah, especially that weight. I mean,
But that's not what you drafted
he'd be
him
fine
for.
At that, I think, but that's
I didn't,
not what you drafted
I don't think
him.
You drafted him for that.
No,
you drafted him so that he could be a dominant pass rusher. And I didn't like what I saw. And I don't think that's his fault. I think it's because they're trying to get him to be what he's not.
Exactly.
Ashton Gelati. In the run game, man, he looked good. He looked just as good as he did at Louisville. Like, he was incredible in the run game.
He's tough
game.
To block, man.
And tough to block.
I credit him as that work he does with Simmons.
Yeah.
I mean, we see a lot of one-on-one, and we've seen a lot of, like, Simmons throwing him to the ground or whatever. But there's also video of him getting right around Simmons as well, using that swim and rip technique and getting right by him. But no one's watching that, but he does it.
I'll tell you, against the run, he looks awesome. Like, they stopped running to his side.
Yeah.
Because they were like, yeah, no, that's not a good
idea. That's why he pushed FAU down the depth chart.
Right. As a pass rusher, I see the potential. He's got, much like we talked about with George Karloftis, high motor guy, puts a lot of effort out there. You could tell, like, he's working hard.
Well, he led college football in pressure rate and led in sacks the year before. And the one thing about Gelati is, you know, he can pass rush. But
he's got to work around the short arms.
But you got to teach, can they stop the run? Because a lot of edges can't.
Yeah,
a lot of edges really struggle against stopping the run. He doesn't. So the pass rush thing, because it's not like you have to teach him that, because that's what he's known for.
Yeah.
So as long as he's got that run down, that's the key part. A lot of edges don't have it.
I see him right now as more of an early down guy, because I think he's still got some work to do on his as far as being a pass rusher.
Yeah.
But because I do think, like, one thing I did think kind of showed up on tape was the lack of length. Like, he was kind of getting to those guys a little late. They were getting to him earlier because they had the length on him. And I want to see him be able to utilize his mobility.
Freaking
so
love the
that
motor,
he can
though.
Get around those guys. But yeah, the motor is great. And
just like Karloff, the same head
he's
coach,
relentless.
Brom, that he went
was
from Purdue
in,
to
he
Louisville.
Was when he was out there, he was putting in the most effort of anybody on the D-line.
He's a Karloff type, man.
Mm-hmm.
High motor, high energy. Max Crosby like. I mean, I'm not anywhere compared to Max Crosby, but I'm saying that kind of motor.
Yeah,
I could see bang your head against the wall motor.
I could see him being a guy that when Omenihu is gone, he takes over that role as the Omenihu Mike Dana type role where he's the pass rushing three.
Some guys haven't. So no, I mentioned Max Crosby, and again, don't worry, these guys aren't Max Crosby level. He's one of the best pass rushers.
Right,
in
right.
NFL.
Just the type of motor,
if not top pass rusher. I mean, his motor is unreal.
I mean, I would give it to Hendrickson right now. But
well, yeah, or Hendrickson or Miles Garrett.
Hendrickson or Garrett, but yeah, like
but motor wise,
he's relentless.
Like that's tough to teach, man.
Yeah, and don't teach that. You don't teach that. But like my thing is like with Jelaide is like early downs. I think he's an edge. Later downs, I think he's a defensive tackle.
Yeah.
Just because of the way he plays. And also.
And he can do everything.
Yeah.
He's big enough, 6'4", 265.
Yeah. Like, I was really impressed with what I saw from. Again, needs to work on the pass rushing and utilizing space a little bit more because he was just kind of just trying to bull rush through. And I think part of that might have been the game plan because we do know that, like, was it Joe Colan and Spags against running quarterbacks like Kyler Murray?
Yeah.
They tend to want them to play more contain as opposed to just going trying to get around the edge and whatnot.
You have to get used to the NFL too.
Yeah. So like Karloftis, like when they, three years ago now, when they played the Cardinals week one, they were a little bit more conservative with their pass rush plan, wanted them to play contain so that Kyler couldn't get out.
You play
and run.
A few guys, they're going to make the NFL, but the NFL, you play everybody that's going to make the
so
NFL.
So I think that it might have been a little bit more conservative. I'll be really interested to see what they do this week against the Seahawks because you don't have to worry about that mobility quite as much until you get to like Jalen Milroe and whatnot. So that'll be interesting. But right now, I definitely liked what I saw. And I think, you know, I'll be this Saturday, I think, and even this Friday and next Friday, I think are going to be really, really good for guys like him. Jaden Hicks is for real. We obviously saw that last year with his three picks.
Led him in interceptions. Had one here.
Had another pick. I mean, great job acting like he was going to play the guy in the flats.
Ball lock, man.
As soon as he read Kyler's eyes, he jumped the route on a corner route and was able to get a pick. Jaden Hicks has got it, man. He's going to be someone I think that by the end of the year, people will be talking about him as one of the better safeties in the league.
That's the reason why Reed wasn't re-signed.
Exactly. It's why we
as
said
good
this.
As he was and
we said this a year ago. It was like, this is Justin Reed's last year on the team because Jaden Hicks will be the guy after him. And we saw that in preseason games.
Like, don't look at the depth chart and see him on the second team because he's anything
don't,
but.
Don't worry about that because he's probably going to be doing what he did.
Rotation.
He's going to be playing inside, like closer to the line, third safety type of guy. And he's going to – and in zone, he's going to be spectacular. In the flats, he's going to be spectacular. I think the role that they put him in that game, perfect role for him. Yeah. That's where I want to see him, is closer to the line of scrimmage. Almost like another linebacker. Noel Williams.
Damn straight.
Showed his traits, man.
He
showed his traits.
To me, he – like when I was taking notes during the game, I was like, Noel Williams, he's aggressive. He was sticking people.
Yeah,
it's like this Spags.
He was right on his. He was right on his guy every time.
In the return game, they used him everywhere. I mean, you saw there was a string of like two series. And you're like, man, return game, this, that. I mean, he did everything.
Yeah, no, I was really impressed with him. He showed the traits that we saw on film when he was at Cal, and I think that Noel Williams. I don't know if he's going to get a lot of playing time early just because of hierarchy and experience. Don't be shocked, though.
Depends on with injuries, though.
Yeah, injuries. And Christian Fulton, obviously, is just coming off of an injury. But don't be shocked if he works his way into the rotation here mid-season.
I think he even starts this year, to be honest with you.
It's very possible, especially if injuries happen. I think he would be the first
guy. It's like his coach. I mean,
they call off the bench.
There was one mock drafter or whatever wrote a bio on him. It said, well, sometimes against the run, he struggles. But that was the only one because the rest of them were like, he's great. We asked his head coach, Kevin Wilcox, directly in the run game. He goes, no. He put it up with the line of scrimmage. He's got football instincts.
Oh, and we saw, you could watch him on film.
And he said something I liked and I loved it. He said, there's two types of football players. Those that love being a player, like Noel Williams shows up early, leaves late, picks brains of people, and those that like the lifestyle.
Yeah.
But it comes to football. And the Chiefs drafted a bunch of dudes that like football.
Yeah. No,
and like Noel Williams is one of those dudes.
We saw the traits. We saw a guy that really, really enjoys the game. And like I said, I don't think it's going to be a, you know, early season, going to get a whole lot of playing time type situation with them, because we know how Spags is with his DBs. But like you just said, don't be shocked. Middle of the season, he ends up getting a start for some reason, either performance or injury. He's a guy, I think, that pick might be one of their better picks that they end up making as far as like DBs go over the last few years. I get why they drafted Jeffrey Bosa. I get why they drafted him. You see the explosive.
Dude, it's all over, man.
He was all over the place. I get it now. Like, I wasn't seeing the vision before. Like, I just didn't get it. I was like, real linebacker? I could see it, but kind of, but no. Because we obviously wanted running back there. And was that round five they took him? We were thinking running back. We
but
wanted
even tackles.
Man, he looked good. He was explosive. He was explosive on defense. In the run game, nonetheless.
He's known as the film study guy, right? It's that Kevin Wilcox, two types of players, right?
And he's a former safety. He was known for his pass coverage, which he was good in pass coverage. But in the run game, like explosive in the run game. You know, they got a stop on, what was it, third and one? And he was the first guy in there getting penetration, getting after the running back. I was really impressed with what we saw from Bosa, and we've heard a lot of good things about him from people who talk to people in the organization. I get it now. Like he's the real deal. He looks like someone that at the very minimum is going to be an impact backup linebacker who you could see him being subbed in on like dime packages at linebacker. Especially because of the issues they've had with like Nick Bolton in pass coverage. But man, I think if he continues to improve his game as a run defender, because I don't really doubt his abilities in pass coverage because of his experience. But if he can develop his game as a run defender and kind of show what he showed last Saturday against the Cardinals, this could be a really strong pick for them at a round five there.
I think it's a home run, especially because you use him on the special teams as well.
Yeah. And, you know, if that's what he ends up being, that's cool. Like, you get another guy that can go out there and dominate in special teams, cool. One guy who did really good, really, really good in special teams and actually did pretty well playing on the defensive side as well was Chris Roland Wallace.
Man, he did. Interception, what, fumble recovery?
First play of the game, he fumbled. He got a fumble recovery on the kickoff. Man, Roland Wallace is a guy we've kind of heard as a sneaky, potentially make the roster a corner type of guy.
I have him one of my six. I have the Chiefs keeping six corners. I got him as one of them.
I think you're right.
I think Josh Williams is...
Yeah, it wouldn't shock me. Somebody, I can't remember, somebody at ESPN, maybe it was Barnwell or somebody, floated out the prospect of them trading Josh Williams.
We talked about it last night, too. Rob and I did. I think they could get at least a seventh for him.
Yeah, I'd say sixth, seventh, something like that.
But he's got a handful of NFL starts with the Chiefs. It's been slow in the postseason.
I think it was floated to the Dolphins. And the Dolphins right now really need DB help because they've had some injuries. He's 6'3", almost 200 pounds, big dude. I mean, you look at the secondary right now. I mean, you got McDuffie. You got Christian Fulton. You got Jalen Watson. You got Noah Williams. Chris Roland Wallace?
I think they keep six. I think Roland Wallace is in there.
And then who's the last one? Because you got Josh Williams. Who else would you keep over him?
As far as corners, Nazee Johnson.
And Nazee's looked good. He looked good, too. Nazee looked good, too. I was actually really impressed with Nazee Johnson from last Saturday. He looked really good when he was out there. That actually wouldn't surprise me if they decided to keep Nazee over Josh Williams and they traded Josh.
Experience too. I mean,
oh, yeah. And Josh is not a bad corner. It's just Josh is very inconsistent.
I thought Josh had a chance last year with Jalen.
He did.
Because Josh is a fourth rounder. Jalen's seventh rounder. I thought they'd kind of connect. And I thought he was ahead of Jalen Watson, to be honest with you.
Me too.
But then you go to camp and stuff, and all of a sudden Jalen Watson is the better option.
Yeah, I thought he would have a very good chance of being you remember we did that show, that Saturday show when he was drafted by the Chiefs back in 22, And we were both really excited about him because he was big. You know, he's 6'3", almost 200 pounds. Yep. And you're like, oh, this guy's got something. Because, like, this is the measurables you want on an outside corner. And he's shown some promise. Like, he got some playing time early. He was starting in the AFC Championship game against the Bengals.
Like, the tradable guys, like Sky Moore, Jalen Watson, you think about the tradable guys on the bubble. I think teams will wait for Sky Moore to be cut.
I don't think Sky Moore is tradable.
No, he's not. I don't either.
He hasn't caught a pass since 2013.
There's a handful of guys that you'd say, okay, again, teams are going to wait for him to be cut.
Yeah.
Like Josh Williams.
Josh Williams is a guy
is
I think they'll probably trade.
Would probably get in line for at least
I think there will be a trade with Josh just because I think there's going to be a market for him, especially because you got some teams that need DBs, and especially, you know, as you know, I just brought up the Dolphins. Dolphins really need DBs because they've had a lot of injuries here. And they just traded Jalen Ramsey away. So it's like you really could use, because, I mean, otherwise, I mean, their defense is going to be absolute garbage this year. So yeah, I definitely think you're going to see some, you're going to see him. I think it's a very good chance he gets moved for sure.
And obviously this is pretty much everything that I want to talk about except for Brownlee, Jason Brownlee and Tyquan Thornton. And I know we're not talking rookies here, but they kind of are.
Well, I mean, Chris Roland Wallace isn't a rookie.
Well, Roland Wallace, but as far as Brownlee and Tyquan, and the reason is for the seven wide receivers, I think they're going to keep seven like they have the previous 2 years, but Brownlee is going to be fighting it out with Nico. And then Nico was like, hold my beer, and he has a 48-yard return.
Yeah.
Brownlee caught that touchdown, that back shoulder fade from Mahomes. And what was interesting to me there was this guy with NFL experience. He's undrafted, but he went to East Mississippi Community College, right? You might know that. That's in Southern Miss, but that's Last Chance U. He's a tough dude, and he's a tough physical presence. I think he brings something the Chiefs they don't have. And it shows you how they value him when he's in there with freaking Mahomes. And
well, they also didn't play Rashi or Hollywood.
Well, I get
or
that.
Xavier.
I get that.
Well, Xavier, where they got what, one
but
snap?
But they put him in there at the beginning with Mahomes. And I mean, if he's going to be in there in a limited time with Mahomes, it showed me a little bit some of that because he's been making great catches and they got a lot of them. But he's going to be fighting that out with Nico, in my opinion. And Dave Tobe loves Nico and his return ability. Nico had three returns back at Fresno State, and I think they really value him. But Tyquan Thornton, he shows his speed. I thought he ran great routes. Like, the production for stats wise wasn't there, but
and Thornton was out there too. Like, he was the first target in the red zone.
And he learned in New England because he played with Matthew Slater. Then Matthew Slater became a coach. Matthew Slater's a 10-time Pro Bowler as a gunner, and this is what Tyquan does on special teams. He's a gunner, so I think he's on the team.
I think Tyquan's on the team, and I think Remigio is on the team as well.
I think so, too. I think
just because
Brownlee's
of the return.
Right out there.
Like, Dave Tobe's going to fight tooth and nail to keep Remigio.
Would I be shocked if Brownlee's activated from practice squad a couple times this year? No.
Yeah, that wouldn't shock me either. I don't think Brownlee's going to make the team, but I do think he's going to be a practice squad guy.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
I don't think he's going to get a lot of playing time when he does play, though, because I know, again,
when Rice is out, he'll be activated.
Probably, yeah. Probably. I could see that. I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to play very much. I don't think he's going to accrue very much in the way of statistics. I'll be honest. I don't think they're going to throw another fade at the goal line the rest of the year.
Last year they struggled in the red zone.
It's probably not going to be until the playoffs that they do it. It won't be with
him. He did a great job with his hands, his footwork.
It was a great job. It's just like the Chiefs don't do that. They just don't throw fade routes.
That was well designed.
It was well designed, but you don't. I don't think that they're going to do that. Again, the rest of the year is probably not going to be till the playoffs. So they bust it out. So yeah, I'm not really counting on that being something that they do again. But it was definitely cool. It was definitely different considering that we're used to the Chiefs, you know, doing something sexy, something different in the red zone. And that was really like a type of play that you see called like 20 years ago, back when it was traditional X who's 6'3", 6'4". And you're just going to throw it up and let him moss the corner.
Yeah.
And that's not something you see a whole lot anymore because about 10 years ago or so, it became really ineffective because teams knew how to press and throw the timing off on it. So, I mean,
well, the question is, what are we going to be able to do if Brown's hurt, which is a possibility? He's missed 24 games since 2021.
Right.
And Rice can be suspended. Can Brownlee and Thornton, can Mahomes rely on these guys like he did maybe Justin Watson that was thrown in there?
I mean, he's going to rely on Juju more than those two guys. Like, because Juju's got experience. He's going to rely on Juju. He's going to rely on Kelsey. He's going to rely on Xavier and Jalen Royals before he relies on those two. So I'm not really going to put a whole lot on their plate. If we get something out of Tyquan Thornton more than, like, as a special teams guy or an occasional deep threat guy, that's cool. Like, if he's an occasional, if he's a Justin Watson type, I'm very cool with Tyquan Thornton being Justin Watson. Brownlee, to me, I kind of feel like it's another Justin Ross type situation where it's like Justin Ross was a guy that, you know, big kind of fade route type of dude. We saw him against the Vikings. What was it, 2 years ago? Make that a catch.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Better.
Probably, but I don't think it's more. I think it's a marginal improvement there.
We're talking about the end of the.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't think Brownlee's going to play a whole lot.
And you can activate a guy three times before you have to put him on the roster.
So, getting to our watch list for the. Starting on the defensive side here, we did offense the last couple weeks. Got to get on this edge rusher class, because this edge rusher class is really, really interesting. Starting out with the guy who's kind of the lead in the class, the guy that everyone is – I mean, I think he's got a good chance to be the maybe the number one, depending on how the quarterback class goes. Keldrick Falk, edge rusher out of Auburn. From a size profile, you're talking Myles Garrett. He's 6'6", 275. He is huge, and you don't see a lot of edge rushers with that size profile. Generally, the guys who are like 6'5 plus, they move inside a defensive tackle because their bodies hold more weight. I mean, 275 is big for an edge rusher, but at a 6'6", it's a really good size to have. I don't know what his length is. Obviously, we probably won't know until he goes to the combine what his arm length is, but you'd have to think it's like 30 over 33, probably 34, maybe
supposed
even 35.
To run a 470 too, as far as speed with him.
Yeah, if he could run a 470, that's really good for his size.
I think TJ Parker, maybe like 1A, 1B with him.
TJ Parker's another one that
big time production getting to the quarterback.
I look at as I don't think TJ, because of the size profile that Falk has, I would give Falk the advantage over TJ, but TJ is going to be another interesting guy too, because he's 6'3", 265. Good size profile. Obviously not as good as Falk's is.
Yeah, Falk's 6'6".
So. Yeah, it's like, and he's probably got incredible length. But Parker, I mean, that's a guy to look out for too. You know, Clemson, that's going to be a team I think we're going to have to watch out for, because Clemson's going to be
19.5 tackles for loss last year and 11 sacks.
Yeah. Another guy, David Bailey, outside linebacker out of Texas Tech. 6'3", 250, probably your traditional speed rush guy coming off the edge there, kind of a, I don't know, I guess a Micah Parsons type, if you will. He's going to be a guy that, like, his 40 time, I think, is going to make him a lot of money if it's really good. If he runs like a 4.5 or even lower 40 time, you're talking about him probably being top 10, top 15. Gabe Jockus, the outside linebacker out of Illinois. This is a guy we've had on our list. I think last year we had him on the watch list, but didn't quite produce the way that I think we were kind of hoping for there. But another bigger pass rusher. He's 6'3", 279. So, I mean, you're looking at more of like a traditional defensive end as opposed to just an outside linebacker. Danny Dennis Sutton, the guy who played opposite of Abdul Carter at Penn State, the other guy, if you will, which is probably the biggest reason why he came back, because he didn't really stand out when you've got Abdul playing on the other side.
Big frame though.
Yeah, good frame on him. Another guy, you brought up LT Overton, the edge rusher out of Alabama. He's another big one, 6'3", 274.
Defensive end or edge. I mean, he can do a lot of different things. I like Overton a lot.
Mateo Uiagalelei at Oregon. Really like him as well. I've heard some people thinking that he might be up there with Falk and Parker as far as being an edge rusher there. He's another bigger guy, 6'5", 270. A lot of bigger edge rushers in this draft class. That's one of the things I think we could kind of point to is like, because you got like, was it Anthony Smith at Minnesota? He's 285. You got Reuben Bain Jr., a guy we've had on our watch list before at Miami. He's 275. Bo Atkins, I mean, Ohio State always has big edge rushers. You've got Kenyatta Jackson and Bo Atkinson. Both of those guys are 6'6", 260 plus. So you're talking basically good replacements for what they had before with Tui Maloau and was it Jack, whatever his name? What was his last name? The other edge rusher they had at Ohio State.
Sawyer? Jack Sawyer?
Jack Sawyer, yeah, that's who it was. Like, both bigger edge rushers, more power-oriented guys. I'll say this, if the Chiefs wanted to take another edge rusher in this class, which I kind of feel like might be a good idea just for depth purposes, this would be a good class to take one, I think.
And Zion Young from Missouri.
Zion Young's another one.
33 starts for him in his career.
He's probably not quite the fit for him. He's probably more speed-oriented based on size. But a lot of big guys that they can take in this class. I'm looking at like maybe day two, early day three at edge rusher if the Chiefs wanted to go that route. But this is a really, really good class. I definitely think the top is really nice there, because Falk, Parker, and maybe even Uiagalelei going to be really interesting options there. And David Bailey is another one to look out for. Defensive tackle. First off, Peter Woods, Clemson. I just said Clemson's going to be real good. Clemson has got a great defensive line. And Peter Woods, he was one of the – I think he was number two or three.
I think Brugler had him as number one on his list.
On his list for defensive tackles.
He was like, when you think of Jeffrey Simmons, he said Dexter Lawrence.
I think he was.
Who he compared him to.
I think he was number two or three on Feldman's freaks list.
Yeah.
Woods is a great athlete. 6'3", 315, and he carries his weight really well. Very athletic for his size.
And a chaser. He chases it down.
He gets after guys. Caleb Banks at Florida. Massive, 6'6", 334. You're talking about an actual, like, traditional nose tackle here.
Downhill guy, man.
If the Chiefs are looking nose tackle here and they want to kind of move Omar Norman Lott away from playing nose, if Caleb Banks is in striking distance for them, that's the guy I would.
I think Dane Brugler brought up Chris Jones type force.
Yeah.
When he was talking about
him. Yeah, he's got Chris Jones type force with him. Another guy, I think, and this guy is huge. Xavien Harris, the defensive tackle out of Ole Miss, 6'7", 330. A lot of bigger nose tackle type guys. Guys like that are the ones
Banks is a little bit bigger,
tackle.
About 5 pounds heavier.
Yeah, he's like
he was the largest in the class.
Yeah, he was 334 is what he will say. Xavien, 330. So either of those guys, you look at those two guys, those are more candidates for nose tackle. In this draft class there. A lot of shorter defensive tackles, though. A lot of guys that are under, like, 6'3", like six in the 6'1", 6'2 range. Guys like David Oak from Arkansas, Dominique Orange from Iowa State, Zane Durant from Penn State.
And Corleone.
Yep, Corleone is another one. He's 6 foot, 331. So he's more of a guy that you could also project as a nose tackle, but a shorter one. Kind of reminds you of like Colin Saunders, where Colin Saunders is like 6 foot, 330, 340. Guys like that. There's a lot of shorter defensive tackles in this class as well. But I do think that this is one that this is a position for sure the Chiefs need to hit, I think. If you can get your hands on a nose tackle here, this would be my dream scenario. Caleb Banks, definitely, but Xavien Harris is another guy to look out for. Those are the two guys I would be and Darryl Jackson Jr. at Florida State. Those are the guys I would look at as potential for a nose tackle for the Chiefs. Then we move to linebacker. I don't think this linebacker class is great, but I do think it's good. Have you watched the Any Given Saturday on Netflix?
I was addicted to it. I couldn't stop watching it. Yeah. Obviously, Missouri passed on at Alabama and these schools.
Yeah.
But South Carolina, like, I really like Lenora Sellers and Beamer in that. Brian Kelly at LSU really starred. But Texas A&M was in it and Florida was in it. They had a lot of Florida with Lagway-Mertz combination.
Right.
But
LSU was there.
My favorite guys out of here, Deontay Lawson. At Alabama, just a stalwart at the University of Alabama. But Anthony Hill out of Texas.
Beast.
This guy, not only that, he had like 7.5 sacks from that middle linebacker position.
Yeah.
I mean, he flows left and right.
So you're looking
right
at him as a potential Michael Parsons type.
Yeah, he's a middle linebacker, but he can play well. He can play on the outside. He can play the edge. But Anthony Hill is by far my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely. And he was, I think C.J. Allen was the guy that Brugler had as his top linebacker in the class. Whit Weeks. That's why I brought up Any Given Saturday. Whit Weeks was featured on the first episode with LSU.
No, 2 weeks were him and West. Yeah. And they got their brother coming too.
Yeah.
Their third brother.
Whit's good.
They're going to have 3 weeks on the roster this year.
Whit's really good. He's 6'2", 225. Yeah. And then his teammate, who got hurt last year, was on our watch list. He got hurt last year, tore his ACL, Harold Perkins. That's another guy to look out for as well. Both of those guys, I think, are going to be a really interesting tandem there. But, yeah, C.J. Allen at Georgia is going to be really interesting. Sonny Styles at Ohio State. Was it Suntarine Perkins, the linebacker out of Ole Miss? One thing that I do notice is these linebackers are getting smaller. Like, aside from, like, Sonny Styles, who's 6'4", and Anthony Hill Jr., who's 6'3", and Jayshon Barham from Michigan, who's also 6'3", most of these guys are 6'2", and shorter. And we even have, like, Kyle Lewis, who's six foot even, 225.
They're basically overgrown safeties at this point.
Yeah, so I'm saying at this point now,
You said what? Boss played some safety at Oregon, too, didn't he?
He was originally a safety, and he converted to linebacker. Yeah. So it's like you're starting to see now, like this is one of the things, like you remember, like the linebacker position 20, 30 years ago, those guys were 6'3", 6'4".
Yeah, like the Pepper Johnson types.
You're talking about they're 240, 250.
Yeah, that was one question I like to sit down and talk to Andy Reid about, like what he's noticed from the linebackers, because they are safeties at this point.
Basically, yeah.
Because they're 6, you know what, 5'11", you know, 6, Nick Bolton's not a tall guy.
He's 6 foot.
You know, these guys that are basically borderline safeties, but they play the linebacker position. Hell, Tyrann Mathieu played linebacker all the time.
Tyrann, yeah, and it's the same thing we talked about with Jaden Hicks. Jaden Hicks is basically going to be used like another linebacker, I think.
It's speed. And seeing somebody like as big as Barham here, the 6'3", 241, that's a big linebacker.
Yeah.
Then you start getting the edge there. Of course, a lot of these guys can play edge, too.
Right. And so I think that's...
It's like Chanel with the Chiefs. He can, yeah. He's one of the better... He had a great pass rushing grade at Wisconsin. Right. So, you know, Anthony Hill, like I said, he's 7.5 sacks.
Linebacker is starting to become like a hybrid position.
Yeah, Hill can play everywhere.
Where you're basically a cross between a safety and even sometimes an edge rusher. Because, like... Micah Parsons was just – he was an off-ball linebacker, and they would use him kind of like the Chiefs used Derek Thomas, basically, where much of the time we're gonna, or where there's like a split between you dropping back in coverage, and on third down, we're going to have you in a three-point stance going after the quarterback.
Yeah.
And I think that that's – and obviously they're not going to put those guys in a three. They're going to keep them in a two-point, but it's interesting seeing the shift at the position where it is becoming much more athletic and it is shrinking to where, like, I remember the idea of having a 6 foot linebacker, no chance in hell.
Too small. You had to drop
some weight and play safety. And if you were too slow to play safety, you couldn't play safety.
It's like Brian Urlacher.
Yeah.
Because he was a safety in New Mexico when he first got
there. Yeah, he put on weight and he went to linebacker. Now, you probably don't have to add very much weight to move to linebacker because these guys are basically – some of these guys are just big safeties, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like you look at some of these guys are like – I mean, they're in the low 200 – like, you know, Suntarine Perkins is 6'1", 210. That's a safety. CJ, you know, Whit Weeks, 6'2", 225. That's just a big safety. That's not really quite linebacker size. Harold Perkins, 6'1", 220, big safety. That's, I think, going to be like the biggest change we're going to see is like a lot of these smaller linebackers, like you, mobility is going to be huge for them because they're going to be asked to do a lot more in coverage and especially blitzing too. They're going to be a lot more important as far as blitzing too. So I think we're starting to see an evolution for that position. We've kind of talked about, you know, evolution for a lot of different positions out there and whatnot. I think linebacker, we're starting to see a big shift there. And I think there's pretty soon there's going to be very little distinction between linebackers and like strong safeties. Like, I think in today's NFL, like Cam Chancellor probably is just mainly used like a mic as opposed to a strong safety. So, like, that to me is like one of the biggest observations I have about it. And I think you kind of see that in the NFL now with like teams like the Chiefs, Jeffrey Bossa, and you know, even how they use Leo Chanel, where it's like Leo Chanel is a cross between a pass rusher and an off-ball linebacker. So it's really interesting to kind of see that. And I think we're definitely kind of witnessing an evolution of a position in front of our eyes. So that's our watch list part 3. Next week, we'll go into DBs and finish up our watch list for the week. Plus, we'll actually give you our watch list
for week zero.
Not a whole lot of games to be played.
Playing it, though.
But we do have a couple of local teams playing next Saturday in KU and K-State. K-State is actually going to be in Ireland. They're going to be in Dublin playing the game over there. So that's going to be an interesting lookout as well. So we'll have our watch list for the season, and we'll also give you our takes on preseason game number 2 up in Seattle. The Chiefs will be playing the Seahawks, and hopefully we hopefully the guys that didn't really look that great in preseason game one put some good tape out there for game two, and hopefully we get to see a little bit more from some of these younger guys that have been on the roster for a little while now, because this is going to be crunch time for a lot of those guys.
Yeah, not a lot of K-State or Iowa State game guys from this defensive line and edge, except for Dominic Orange, defensive tackle for for
Iowa State. It's not going to be a huge watch list, because you're not seeing a whole lot of premium games next week, next weekend, but definitely some players to watch out for, obviously, like Dylan Edwards at K-State and whatnot. And then after that, we got week one of college football. I think we're really both excited about that. There's going to be a lot of really interesting games to watch out for, and I can't wait to see what these guys do.
Well, no question.
So for Jake Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. Thanks again for listening to our podcast. Download, subscribe, like on whatever platform that you are on. We greatly appreciate it. Again, if you don't have any plans, we love it if you were to listen to us on Labor Day. We're going to be talking NFL. We're going to be talking Chiefs. We're going to be talking college football as well. So if you want a full 4 hours of football talk, then check us out 2 p.m. Central Time on 96.5 The Fan. You can listen to it on your terrestrial radio if you're in KC. If you're not, we'd love it if you checked us out on the Odyssey app as well. For Jay Binkley, I'm Christian Ocero. We'll catch you guys next week.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
No matter why you give, your donations can do so much more with a donor-advised fund from DAFGiving 360. You can get a tax deduction upon funding an account, and your assets can potentially grow tax-free as you recommend when and where to give. It's a tax-smart way to maximize your charitable giving from a fund with over 25 years of expertise bringing donors, financial advisors, and charities together. Make a greater impact with DAFGiving 360. Learn more at DAFGiving360.org.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.